Chapter 16. The Garrison in the Stockade. As soon as Ben Gunn saw the colors, he came to a halt, stopped me by the arm, and sat down. "Now," said he, "there's your friend, sure enough." "Far more likely it's the mutineers," I answered. "That," he cried. "Why, in a place like this, where nobody puts in but gentlemen of fortune, silver would fly the Jolly Roger. Don't make no doubt of that. No, that's your friends. There's been blows, too, and I reckon your friends have had the best of it. And here they are ashore in the old stockade that was made years and years ago by Flint." "Well," said I, "that may be so. And so be it. All the more reason that I should hurry on and join my friends." "Well," returned Ben, "just you. You're a boy, but you're only a boy, all told. I wouldn't go till I see your born gentleman and get his word of honor. And when Ben Gunn is wanted, you know where to find him, Jim, just where you found him today. And he that comes is to have a white thing in his hand, and he's to come alone." "Well," said I believe I understand. You have something to propose, and you wish to see the squire or the doctor, and you're to be found where I found you. Is that all?" "And when?" says you, he added. "Why, from about noon observation to about 6 bells. "Good," said I. "And now may I go?" "You won't forget?" he inquired anxiously. "Well, then, I reckon you can go, Jim. And, Jim, if you were to see silver, you wouldn't sell out Ben Gunn. Wild horses wouldn't draw it from you?" "No," says you. "And if those pirates camp ashore, Jim, what would you say but there'll be widows in the morning?" Here he was interrupted by a loud report, and a cannonball came tearing through the trees and pitched in the sand, not 100 yards from where we two were talking. The next moment each of us had taken to his heels in a different direction. For a good hour came frequent reports from the island, and balls kept crashing through the woods. I moved from hiding place to hiding place, always pursued, or so it seemed to me, by these terrifying missiles. But toward the end of the bombardment, though I still didn't dare venture in the direction of the stockade, where the balls fell the oftenest, I had begun in a manner to pluck up my heart again, and after a long detour to the east, crept down among the shore-side trees. The sun had just set, the sea breeze was rustling and tumbling in the woods, and ruffling the gray surface of the anchorage. The tide, too, was far out, and great tracts of sand lay uncovered. The air, after the heat of the day, chilled me through my jacket. The Hispaniola still lay where she had anchored, but, sure enough, there was the Jolly Roger, the black flag of piracy, flying from her peak. Even as I looked, there came another red flash, and another report that sent the echoes clattering, and one more round shot whistled through the air. It was the last of the cannonade. I lay for some time watching the bustle which succeeded the attack. Men were demolishing something with axes on the beach near the stockade. Away near the mouth of the river, a great fire was glowing among the trees, and between that point and the ship, one of the boats kept coming and going, the men, whom I had seen so gloomy, shouting at the oars like children, but there was a sound in their voices which suggested rum. At length I thought I might return toward the stockade. I was pretty far down on the low, sandy spit that encloses the anchorage to the east. And now, as I rose to my feet, I saw some distance farther down the spit, and rising from among low bushes, an isolated rock, pretty high, and peculiarly white in color. It occurred to me that this might be the white rock of which Ben Gunn had spoken, and that some day or other a boat might be wanted, and I should know where to look for one. Then I skirted among the woods until I had regained the rear, or shoreward, side of the stockade,